Good evening. Welcome to Tuesday Night Bible Study. Tonight, by the grace and mercies of God, we are coming to the conclusion of our study of the book of James, which started sometime back in March. We thank God for his grace and his mercies in helping us through this study. And I pray and hope that you have learned some truth concerning God's word through our study of this wonderful book of James, written to encourage Christian Jews who were forced to disperse because they became believers. And very likely, they were persecuted by their own people, and they had to flee, and they had to run, and they had to hide, and they had to sacrifice much for the sake of Christ. In tonight's study, our theme is Save a Soul from Death, taken from the final two verses of James chapter 5. Before we continue, let us look to God in prayer and seek his blessing. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, as we reflect back these past 6 to 7 months, when we started our study in the book of James, due to the circuit breaker that was enforced on all of us because of this COVID-19 virus, you have taught us to give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. You have also taught us that all things work together for good to those who love you, to those who are the called according to thy purpose. And in times like this, truly, O Lord, promises such as these portions of God's word are truly a blessing to our hearts. For we live in a world of great confusion and great change. Things are moving so quickly and swiftly, and we could hardly take our breath. Help us to take a step back and learn to be still and to know that thou art God. Whatever trials or adversities or turmoil that some of us may be going through within our hearts, help us, O Lord, to look to you and never to take our eyes off our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. May we remain faithful and true to him, that no matter how difficult the adversity that some of us might be going through now, help us to even hold onto the hand of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, more tightly now than ever before, and never let go of his hand, but to continue to lean upon him and to trust him. For he has assured us that he will never leave us comfortless, and he will be with us all the way, even unto the end of the world. And in times like this, O Lord, precious promises of thy holy scriptures can truly calm our innermost turmoil and our soul. We pray, Father, for the forgiveness of all our sins. Cleanse us by the precious blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, as we commit tonight's final lesson on our study on the book of James unto your loving hand. And may thy Holy Spirit be our teacher once again, to grant us illumination and understanding, that we may once more behold wonderful truths out of thy holy word, and how we can be better witnesses and servants of the Most High God. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Save a Soul from Death is our title. Let me read to you the two verses of James chapter 5. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. Amen. May God bless us in the reading of his most holy and sacred word. The Lord has left us behind to provoke one another, fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, unto love and to good works. But in the process of this provocation, what do you do when you see a brother in sin or a sister in sin? You see a fellow believer in sin, and the person doesn't know that he is in sin. Now, what do you do? We could either ignore or pretend that we do not know. But the reality is, information is responsibility. The Lord has enabled you to see the error in this person's life. And the Bible tells us in the book of Jeremiah that if you see a fellow brethren in transgression and you keep silent, and that brother continue to live in sin, the blood of that brother is on your head. There is a duty, there is a responsibility. Now the phrase is, err from the truth. And so the first thing we have to realize and understand is that we all have a brotherly, sisterly responsibility toward one another for the sake of Christ. You bear the image of Christ, I bear the image of Christ, and so when a brother is in sin who has erred away from the truth, the image of Christ in that brother's life is now marred, and he is not aware of it, or at least we think that he is not aware of it, because if he is aware of it, he should stop. But since it did not stop, that would be our assumption, and therefore it is our responsibility to make it known to him, to help him, to let him see the error of his ways. He has erred from the truth. Now, if this person is a new believer, the truth can be very, very serious. If the truth pertains to salvation, he might be ignorant of it. For example, a person who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior, and then he had always believed in evolution. Now, he did not know that evolution, it's a very serious doctrinal error on his part. Now, you know, based upon Scripture, that God created this world out of nothing in 6 24-hour days, and on the seventh day, God rested. But the theory of evolution was what he believed in before his conversion. And when the gospel was shared with him, this theory of evolution and the doctrine of creation was not taught to him yet. And so he might continue to believe in this, and you may have heard him in his conversation with his friends or with others in the church, and so he is not aware. And therefore, it is our duty to share with him and explain to him that if you believe in the theory of evolution, this is how it will impact the gospel that you believed in. The gospel teaches us that when a person sins, he dies. Death is a result of sin, and therefore when Christ forgives us of all our sins, death is also removed from the life of every believer. But the theory of evolution teaches that death is a byproduct of millions or billions of years. The death already existed even before man came into this world. Man evolved into existence. And therefore, if you believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot continue to believe in evolution. Now, this is an example of erring from the truth pertaining to the gospel. If this person is a new believer, but if the person is not a new believer and his error from the truth pertains to maybe his holy witness, his worship of the Lord, his relationship with people, err from the truth concerning Christian behavior and conduct, and, for example, biblical separation, erring from the truth concerning the doctrine of biblical separation whereby his witness is jeopardized. In the case of the first example, if the person persists in holding on to evolution and resists the teaching that you have now taught him, the death that the Bible speaks of in verse 20 concerning a person who refused to be corrected and continued to hold on to his error could even result in eternal death, the second death. But if it is a truly born-again believer and it pertains to his holy witness, that death will refer to physical death. God may have to intervene and terminate his holy witness if he resists and refuses to repent of his sin and continue to persist in his error from the truth, which will mar and ruin his holy witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. No longer can he claim ignorance because you have helped him, confronted him with the truth. And that is why we have to know our responsibility when it comes to saving a soul from death. This is every Christian's responsibility. And the more you know Scripture, the greater will be your responsibility, because the more you know Scripture, your ability to recognize a sin will be far more sensitive than others who may not be as mature and as knowledgeable as you are. And we are not talking about merely head knowledge. Head knowledge alone will result in legalism, where you'll go around, criticize everybody. You are not there to help a person get out of sin. You are there just simply to condemn a person and leave him in a state of condemnation. That is not what verse 19 and verse 20 is all about. Because the Pharisees, for example, they were very, very well versed in God's truth. And when they went around from viewing the way the disciples of Christ lived, they were there to find fault. They were not there to restore. They were not there to find the truth and to help them from error. Of course, the Pharisees were wrong in their understanding of gossip, because all they had was head knowledge, just like Saul before his conversion. Without the Lord Jesus Christ as a Lord, as a Savior, the Old Testament, like the New Testament, will always be a closed book. You may know the facts. You may know a lot of data and information about the Bible, but you don't really know the Bible. This is a reference to someone who really knows the Bible, and he lives out the truth that he studies and he learns to the best of his ability. Not perfect. He makes mistakes. He struggles with perfection, but he seeks holiness. He seeks repentance. He seeks to fight against his weaknesses, even though he knows that no matter how he will fight against it, he will continue to stumble and fall. But he thanks God that he knows that in Christ Jesus, God the Heavenly Father will always relate to him based upon what Christ has done on the cross, and not what he is striving on this earth for perfection, which is an impossibility. And so he will continue to strive toward holiness. This is the individual that the Lord is referring to. And I hope that all of us who are tuned in this evening, who have been joining us in the study of this wonderful book of James, it is a description of you. And therefore, you have a responsibility to see the error of someone, to speak up, to talk to that person. And we know how challenging that can be, because nobody likes to be told that they have committed an error. Nobody likes it. You take the risk of getting your head bitten off. You take the risk of being humiliated and scolded. That is always the risk. But for the sake of that individual, for the sake of Christ, with the love of Christ constraining, you must forget about the risk, and you must prayerfully pluck up the courage, pray for the right time and the right place and for the right words to come, and confront that person. Because the longer you delay, the longer that person will continue to sin. And therefore, procrastination is not an option. And that's why we have to recognize or know our responsibility to one another as fellow believers in Christ. All the more so in the case of the recipients of this book written by James, the people living in diaspora. They do not have the completed Bible the way that we have. And therefore, many of them who are running and hiding, they will lack knowledge. They do not carry the Bible the way that we carry the Bible, because the printing press was not invented yet until the 15th century AD by Gutenberg. And therefore, written scripture, holding it in their hands, was not something common at all, if at all possible. And so for them not to know, and those who know, you have to speak up. You have to help them. because that is our duty and responsibility and our love for them and for the Lord Jesus Christ. If any of you do err from the truth, one, convert him. Convert him means if you are able to truly help him from beginning to end, the way that Nathan plucked up the courage to confront David, if you are able to convert him, get him out of this error. Okay, that is your hope, that is your agenda, that is your goal, that is your objective. Because if you cannot see this objective, and if you keep on seeing this barrier of being humiliated, being shamed, and being shouted at, being scolded in the process, you're not going to be the one who will help. You're not going to save a soul from death. Because you must understand the severity. So know your responsibility and know the severity of our inaction. Let him know. Let who know? Let the one who sees the error from the truth of another believer. Let him know this, that he which converted the sinner, if you are able to convert the sinner, if you can succeed and help him out of the error of his way, you shall save his soul from death. Now in the case of the new believer, there are certain doctrines that were not shared with him in the course of sharing the gospel. It's not possible. But if he's truly born again in Christ, as he continues to go to church, as he continues to join Bible studies, as he continues to study more and more of the Word of God, many doctrines that are not shared with him in the course of sharing the gospel with him, but they are very key and essential doctrines that pertain to the gospel, such as creation that was mentioned earlier. Some other doctrines that will impact that person would be the global flood. These are very, very key doctrines that if a person who is born again and when these doctrines are taught to him, he will readily accept. Because Jesus assured us and promised us, if he is truly born again, he is a sheep that belong to Christ. And Jesus said, my sheep hears my voice and follow me. What does it mean to follow Christ? Follow Christ means you follow the teaching of Christ. You don't have Jesus, the person, walking on earth just like the days when Jesus walked on earth with the disciples and the multitude followed him where he went, physically, literally, because he was there physically for them to follow literally. But when Jesus says, follow him, now how do we follow the Lord Jesus Christ? By obeying the word. And so when these doctrines are taught to him, he will readily accept and believe in it, and it will change his thinking, his understanding of this whole world, especially if he had been so interested in astrophysics, or anything that pertains to science that had always been dominated by evolution. You know, evolutionists do not believe in the global flood. They reject it. Those who believe in evolution will also believe in the local flood. Those who say that, well, I believe in creation, but the local flood, they do not know what they are saying. You cannot separate the two. And the judgment of the last days will be global in nature. And God's premise for the certainty of the global judgment and the last days by fire is the first global destruction by water. Which those who mock that there is not going to be a global destruction by fire, they also deny the global flood, the first destruction of the earth by water. That's how crucial this doctrine is, but we are not. This doctrine is not included in the sharing of the gospel. But it is important because it is directly linked to the gospel in its content. And if that person rejects and refuses, you have to keep on trying your best to help him understand that creation is the way, global flood is the way, and there are some other doctrines that are also related to the gospel. And you help him save him from death. And that death is the second death, which is to spend eternity in the lake of fire, because his salvation will be jeopardized and whether he truly sincerely believed when the gospel was shared with him some time back will now be revealed that probably it was not true at all. And therefore, you must continue, because by just simply sharing and not trying your utmost until he says, please stop bothering me, until he really, really drives you away, you have to not give up on him. Because if he dies, second death is the death that will apply to him. Or he may think that he's still a believer, because this is the last days that we're living in. Just like many today who believe in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, thinking that Jesus saved them so that they can be healthy and wealthy on earth, because their pastors, who are false teachers, have twisted the word of God based upon Isaiah 53, by his stripes we are healed. That is to heal us from all our sins. Not to heal us of your running nose and your cough and your cold. Jesus did not come and suffer to die on the cross for your sin, to heal you of your cough and your cold, whereby all this physical healing will not take death away from you. You know that. That's why Jesus Christ came to die for us, for our sins, period. The health and wealth that we are going to enjoy will be in the New Jerusalem when we receive the glorified body. Not the health and wealth that is in this earthen vessel. If you become a Christian and you do not fall sick physically today, right now, and you will always be wealthy, what do you think will be the response of sinners? Every sinner on earth will want to believe in Christ. Because if I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I will be healthy and wealthy here on earth. Right? You see how nonsensical that is? You see how ridiculous that is? That was the case in the time of Constantine when he changed Christianity, that was a persecuted religion in the first 200 to 300 years when he was born. When he became the emperor, he turned Christianity into a state religion and make it compulsory that anyone who wants to rule in his empire must first become a Christian. Overnight, everybody suddenly jumped into the Christian bandwagon. Before that, those who truly want to believe in Christ, they must literally count at the cost. When you give some carnal motives, carnal, in inverted comma, blessings for believing in Christ, everybody will believe. And that's why you see in the charismatic movement, millions and millions of them flock to this kind of gospel. And now if you know your relative or your friend who belong to this version of the gospel that does not save, but he thinks it is, he has erred from the truth. We have a responsibility to tell him, because as long as he thinks he's a Christian, he tells his colleagues, who are also your colleagues, that he's a Christian, the image of Jesus Christ will continue to be marred by him. And it will be the same Christ that the unbelieving colleagues will link with your Christ, which is the true Christ according to scriptures, but the Christ that they project by their erroneous gospel is the Christ of the God of this world, the false Christ. Yours is the true Christ, and therefore it is your duty to reach out to this person to save his soul from death. It includes them as well. Same for the charismatic and the Roman Catholics. You have to reach out to them, including any of these new evangelicals who believe the Bible with mistakes. That is also a very dangerous doctrine that will shatter, cripple, crack the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the gospel comes from a Bible with mistakes, and therefore every aspect of the gospel will be doubted and questioned because it originated from the Bible with mistakes. And if the sharer of the gospel says, well, I give you my assurance that the gospel has no mistakes, how can he give you the assurance? He is not God. He doesn't hold the key to the kingdom of heaven. How can he say in one breath that the Bible has mistakes and the gospel that I'm sharing with you comes from the Bible with mistakes, but I give you the assurance that the gospel is perfect? On what grounds? On what authority he can give you that assurance? You want to put your eternity based upon the assurance of this man who is now standing or sitting in front of you? You're talking about eternity in heaven or eternity in hell. And now he sits there or stands there and tell you, the gospel comes from the Bible with mistakes, but I guarantee the gospel has no mistakes. You see the contradiction? You see the entire illogical argument, reasoning is completely twisted. We have much to do in these last days because this phrase, erred from the truth, there are more people around us who have erred from the truth than we would care to admit. Please know the severity. And if the person is truly born again in Christ, you have to help that person until the person says, I do not want. Please back off. And when that happens, there is absolutely nothing more you can do other than to pray. Pray for the Lord's mercy to open that person's eyes so that the person can see the truth. Because if the person persists and continues, the Lord can just simply terminate the person's life. And please do not think that the Lord will not terminate a believer's life. Because he did so to quite a number, which the Bible used many, in the church in Corinth, in the time of the Apostle Paul, when they abused the Lord's Supper, which was a sacrament that carries with it a severe penalty, that if anyone were to partake of the Lord's Supper unworthily, the judgment of God would be upon that person. And many were sick and many sleep. Now we know the word sleep there does not refer to them literally, physically snoring in the sanctuary. We know the word sleep is how God usually describes the death of a believer, someone who dies in Christ. And that's how we know that those who perish, who died in the church in Corinth, who did not partake of the Lord's Supper worthily, the Lord took their life. The Lord called them home. Their life of witness was over. And you know why. Because you went and speak to him to correct him, to help him see and understand the truth. You tried again and again and again and again until the person pushes you away. And once that happens, there is nothing more you can do other than to pray. But then you continue to live a life of witness that is not according to the truth. Now, whether he's sincere, whether he is deeply convicted in his error, that's beside the point. The point of the matter is he is still wrong. And therefore, the life of this individual will continue to impact more and more people, influence more and more people, especially if he is a leader. All of us influence someone in one way or another. A leader will have more. A greater influence, or more people will be stumbled by his error, which he refuses to correct and change. And the Lord said, enough. Enough. Since I sent my servant to correct you and you refuse, and you persist in your error, and your witness for me continue to hurt others, and your witness for Christ continue to be damaged because it is not according to the truth. Your sincerity, your conviction matters not. That's why it is so important to know the truth. And that person, his life will end and the Lord will call him home. And so the word death there, depending on the error of the person, the death will vary. Because we know that if a person is truly born again, he cannot lose his salvation. He will no longer experience the second death. That is why if the error does not pertain to the gospel of salvation in Christ Jesus, but it pertains to a holy witness for Christ, then the death will be physical and the Lord will say, I will take him home. So that he will no longer stumble any more individuals. Enough. That's why it is a very heavy responsibility God has given to every one of us without exception. The Lord has saved us, and the Lord allow you to remain here on earth, bearing in mind this responsibility that we have toward one another. You cannot turn a blind eye. You cannot pretend you do not see. The moment you see, information is responsibility before God and to the individual. And you have to do something about it, or else your conscience is going to plague you for the rest of your life, and all the more so if you continue in sin and you know that he is ruining the lives of others, especially if he has young children. His family and his children will also be devastated by his erroneous witness, albeit sincerely he believes that he is right. Doesn't matter with God. Truth is truth. When you study the book of Leviticus, you realize that ignorance is no excuse for transgression, because the person who sinned in ignorance will still have to bring the same kind of sin offering as a person who sinned knowingly. No difference. The Lord is very clear concerning this, because obviously you know that if you can hide behind the mantle of ignorance, then all of us will keep on wearing the mantle of ignorance and not study God's word, right? And that would be disastrous for all of us and for the cause of Christ. But if you are able to convert a soul, please know the blessing. You shall hide a multitude of sins. Now we know that only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can cover a multitude of sin, whatever the sins might be, because the error of the truth of the Bible, there are so many. That means when you are able to restore a believer who is in error by correcting his doctrine, he will now repent of his sin. He will admit that he has erred from the truth. And now his witness for the Lord Jesus Christ is restored toward truth and righteousness. He will no longer stumble anyone. And those who were stumbled, he can now help them and correct them and set them back on the right path as well. That's why it is, shall hide, cover up a multitude of sin. Don't forget, we are only the instrument. We cannot cover anybody's sin. Only Christ can, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you are able to convert and help the person, it also will encourage you to help more people, isn't it? It takes discernment, it takes courage to confront someone of his sin. It takes a lot of love not to give up on someone, on the person who repudiates and drives you away. You know that you have done your utmost. You know that you have tried your best to help him repent, because that's the only way to cover the person's sin, right? Through the blood of Christ, through genuine sincere repentance. That's the only way. That's what this phrase means. But the Lord has used you as the instrument to help him repent. So your action of telling the truth, correcting him of his error, the Lord says, it's as if you have helped him overcome his sin, hide a multitude of sin by your action. What a tremendous encouragement, isn't it? This is the blessing that you must keep your eyes on to truly help a brother or a sister out of an erroneous doctrine, which in turn straightened his life of holiness. In the case of a charismatic, it is more than just straightening his life, isn't it? It is to help him, give him a new life in Christ, which he never had. He thought he had it, but unless and until you pluck up the courage and fulfill the responsibility, bearing in mind the severity that this person is in, he's not aware. If he were to die right there and then in front of you, you know he is going to end up in hell. But if you were to pluck up the courage and share the truth with him, and don't give up to the best of your ability, keep on until the person really, really drives you away, the Lord may use you to save his soul from death, that he may experience truly what it means to have all his sins forgiven because you shared with him the true gospel of Jesus Christ according to Holy Scriptures. Save a soul from death. This is the title for our study and an encouragement. Have you ever experienced what's it like to help a brother or a sister to come to the knowledge of the truth, to help them know the truth? You know what a tremendous and wonderful joy that will bring to your heart, that you're able to guide this person who has been walking in a path that he thought was holy, when in fact it was the opposite, carnal, sinful. And because you took the trouble lovingly, prayerfully, sometimes it may even require rebuke, firmness, determination, perseverance, patience. Don't give up. And finding the person comes back to the Lord. And we were overseas one day ministering to a church. This person at the camp or in the church shared with us. He stopped attending church for one reason or another. And the elder of the church, whenever he goes out and sees him, because his wife continues to come, but he doesn't want to come back, the elder would encourage him to come back, come back, come back, come back, come back, unceasing. And one day this person took a step back and asked himself, why does this elder keep on pestering me, asking me to come back to church? What does he want to take the risk of being scolded by me? Why would he want to do that? Why would he want to care enough for me to keep on pestering me and taking the risk of having his head bitten off by me? And that moved him, and he returned to church with his wife. I share this testimony due to the perseverance of the elder who saw him err from the truth, believing that he's a believer, but I don't need to go to church. He did not give up on him. Rejected a number of times, cold-shouldered a number of times, but not literally driven away. And so he kept on. And finally, the heart softened and he returned to church. We all should have such experiences in our lives. It will enrich our relationship with the Lord and our own Christian walk and testimony to know that this life that the Lord has redeemed with his blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is truly worth living, that we are truly impacting people around us for the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you begin at home? You know, of mom and dad and your own children who used to attend church, but now for whatever reason, they're strayed away. You know they have erred from the truth. Would you prayerfully consider, bearing in mind the severity that they have put themselves in and the blessings that could come, if you can truly convert him by the grace and the mercies of God, where he sincerely repents and you help him to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and have his sins covered by the blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. May God be merciful. May God encourage us and help us to never stop provoking one another unto love and to good works, which include helping a brother or a sister who have erred from the truth. May God use us to convert them for Jesus' sake. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, you know we have wasted many opportunities in helping someone for fear, because of indifference, for whatever the reason. We have been too inward-looking and failed to realize the responsibilities that you have entrusted to us to be our brother and our sister's keeper. And if we were to see someone who have erred from the truth, may we continue, O Lord, to help that person out of the error of his ways, that he might come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved from death, that his holy witness for the Lord Jesus Christ will no longer jeopardize the holy witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, especially in the eyes of the people around him. And what a tremendous experience and a joyful experience as well, to be able to see and to be used by thee, O Lord, to cover a multitude of sin, and to see this brother or sister coming back to the path of holiness and righteousness because of the truth that the person has now believed in. Forgive us, O Lord, of all our sins. May we never outlive our love for thee and be weary in well-doing, but to continue to keep on serving, for we know that in due season we will reap if we faint not. For we ask all these things with thanksgiving and for thy glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. The next book that we are going to study is the book of Ezra. I did mention some time back the book of 2 Peter, but I feel that it might be good if we were to study an Old Testament book. It's not a large book. It has only 10 chapters. I'm now doing the outline and when it is done, I'll send it to Brother Han Shen, who will put it up onto the church website for your advance notice. All right, so next week, God willing, we shall begin our study on a new book, the book of Ezra. Good night, and God bless.